Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
I do want to chat about this story. You heard in the news there a few moments ago as well today. This government-approved, fully funded scheme to repair up to about 100,000 homes with building defects around the country. Many of this building work has already been completed, or it's maybe underway at the moment, on apartments that are covered by the scheme. The cost is expected to be around 2.5 billion euro. Andrew was with us on the line today because, Andrew, we talked to you about this very issue just last November. You had issues with the balcony and fire safety in your apartment. So how do you feel having heard this news about the scheme today?
Yeah, look, it's initially it's a great relief. I think not just for myself, but for everybody that's been dealing with this for over 2 years probably and more. So, yeah, initially it's a huge sense of relief. We obviously need to see the kind of finer details of how it's going to be implemented and that kind of thing. But initially, yeah, it's a nice feeling.
I mean, just over the last 2 years, and for people who maybe didn't hear you talk to us back in November, Andrew, you might just remind listeners of, I suppose, some of the issues that you were facing.
Yeah, so we basically were informed most people had bought their places without any real knowledge of this at all. And we are told that there was issues structurally, either with balconies, there may be fire defect issues, and a number of other kind of water ingress and other potential problems that were essentially self-certified by building companies when they made developments. And we were the ones that were being told that we were going to have to foot the bill. So it caused huge amount of stress, obviously, and anxiety to everyone. We had very little information, and I had to really try and go out and get that ourselves, much to the difficulty that we faced. So I just also wanted to mention with great help from Paul Murphy, Alan O'Brien, and obviously the Construction Defects Alliance have done a huge amount of work over the past few years as well.
Okay. Can I just ask you about when you were told, you know, that you were going to have to foot the bill, could you give us any indication, Andrew, you know, about the kind of figures that you were looking at?
Yeah, so we were initially told the balcony replacement could cost about €21,000 and the fire safety could cost anywhere from an additional €20,000 to €40,000, depending on the damage or the extent, and then kind of other potential costs. So we were looking at somewhere in the region of €60,000 to €80,000 potentially.
It's anywhere between €60,000 to €80,000. I'm just trying to get my head around this, Andrew. €60,000 to €80,000 on top. Were you a first time buyer?
First-time buyer.
No, I'm just thinking, you know, the saving. I'm sure I know all that goes on with it, and you get the place and you're in there. And how long were you in there with all this?
So we bought in July and we were told in November of 2020.
So on top of the mortgage and the repayments.
Saving up for a deposit and everything else. Yeah,
you now had another 60 to 80,000 on top of that to look at to pay. So, so the stress of that, I'm sure, you know, really took its toll.
Yeah, like it was hard for us. It was something that should have been a huge landmark in myself and my wife's life. And it was tainted, to say the least. But we had a number of neighbours that were kind of maybe elderly or had children and trying to plan for their futures. I couldn't really do anything or didn't know what to do. So there's definitely a bit more clarity now after the announcement today.
Okay. Is there a little bit of a sigh of relief now in the fact that you know this is going to be 100% fully funded?
Yeah, it is. It's great. Look, I think we have to be slightly cautious as well, just with past experiences over the last couple of years, that we are kind of keen to see how it's going to be implemented. I know Dara O'Brien mentioned that it would take a number of months just to go through legislation and all that, which is completely understandable, but really to see if there's some kind of stop gaps, because as you mentioned at the start yourself, that there are some places that have already started to do work. The nature of the fire safety and the implications on the insurance on estates and stuff, I think there has to be something that's put in place in the short term as well.
Okay. Stay with us, Andrew. Pat Montague, who's the spokesperson for the Construction Defects Alliance Group, is on the line as well today. Pat, are you optimistic? Happy with the announcement?
Well, we certainly welcome the announcement. It's a very significant and welcome step forward. But I think, as Andrew has already indicated to you, there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of detail to be worked out. And so, but the way I'd put it is, you know, we appear to be on the road to a solution, but there is a lot of work to be done. And reality is, it's, you know, there's certainly going to be another year or so before the scheme is in place. But government is talking about funding some interim measures to help people in the meantime. Again, we don't have a timeline on that, but, you know, I would expect that during this year there would be support for stuff like upgrading
I think the minister said that he would expect some payments to be made this year, but more next year, really, as the scheme is stood up, is the line or the quote that I thought I heard earlier about it.
I think that's rather optimistic, to be frank, the legislation has to be put in place. So, I mean, the only sort of payments I could see possibly being made this year would be what are referred to as emergency grants. And I do know there is a budget line there in place because we asked for it last year for a number of measures. So, look, let's see what happens. What I don't want to do is to put people in a position, give them unrealistic expectations, because the worst possible thing is for people to expect something and for not to happen, because, you know, people have had a lot of disappointments and worries, and I don't want in any way to add to that. I mean, it is a big development. It's a very significant one.
Yeah.
But, you know, an awful lot of work to be done yet.
Okay. Just before I bring in, I've another homeowner, I think, who will be part of this scheme, Pat, on the line as well. Look, 53106 is the number if you want to get in touch with us. But in terms of actually carrying out the work, do we know who's going to do that, Pat?
Well, I think, the detail to be worked out, the way I think they're looking at doing this is providing the funding to owners' management companies. So owners' management companies are the bodies that have the legal responsibility for health and safety of people living in apartment developments. So they are going to be funded, because there's no point giving the money to individual owners. Why? Because they can only do their own place. Mm. And for people to be safe, the whole buildings have to be done, because even if 90% of the safety works are done, you're 100% unsafe. So it all has to be done, and that has been recognised by government.
Okay.
So they're talking about providing money to owners' management companies, and then that they would get support from the housing agency. We're saying that given that owners' management companies, the boards, the directors are people who are volunteers, they don't have the expertise and the experience of construction project management. So they're going to need hands-on support.
Absolutely.
From
it's
the
a huge undertaking, yeah. To be able to do that, and you're right about that, Pat, like the support that would be needed for, I'm just trying to think of, you know, a lot of us will be aware of the management companies in apartment complexes, and, you know, it can be a complex it can be a sort of a difficult area to get your head around. Stay with us, Pat and Andrew, if you don't mind. Sam is on the line as well. Sam, your property, I believe, is also affected.
Yeah, our property in Park West is affected, and it was good news to get there today, but unfortunately, we're still not jumping up and down, because in our situation, we still have the fire officer pushing for us to carry out work. And as Pat just said there, this mightn't come into place for 12 months, which is no good to us. And the other thing that we have is our insurance was up on the 31st of December, and our insurance company gave us a month's grace till the end of January, which is about 10 days away. We tried to get other quotes, and most of the other Irish companies won't quote us. They told us go to the English market. On going to the English market, we were quoted somewhere in the region between 150,000 to 200,000, and it would have a 10 million excess on the insurance policy. So we have insurance, but not have insurance. So that's where we are. In 10 days' time, we're really in trouble.
Have you other similar stories like that, Pat, coming to you from residents?
Yes, we do. I mean, insurance is a massive issue. And there is big pressure coming on people to basically do the works now, or else they're without insurance cover. And we do know of a number of developments that have no insurance cover, which means, bearing in mind that these apartments have fire safety defects, so therefore fires may be more common. If there is a fire, they're on their own in terms of covering the costs of any damage done. So it is a problem. The government have met at our request with the insurance sector. And I know this is before Christmas, but now the government has made the decisions about the scheme, I know that they will be meeting with the insurance sector shortly with a view to, I suppose, briefing them about what their plans are and to get the insurance sector on board. But look, there are lots of those types of, for want of a better word, cliff edge situations like Sam's in, where people are in very, very difficult situations. And this is why government are talking about putting in place a series of emergency grants to help people in that situation. So we are looking. I did ask this morning at the briefing we had with Department of Housing officials for more detail on that as to when, what would be the in the interim measures and when they would kick in. And I suppose the there's still more work to be done on that.
Yes, okay.
Would be hopeful of getting more information in the next few weeks.
Yeah,
and all of that.
We I'm sure there'll be plenty more analysis of the scheme as there's more details announced throughout the course of the day as well. But just interesting to get, I suppose, that initial reaction from the likes of Sam and Andrew, two homeowners both affected by this. Listen, thank you for getting in touch with us, sharing your story with us here on Lunchtime Live, and also there Pat Montague, spokesperson with the Construction Defects Alliance. This texter says, while I do feel for the people who have these issues with their apartments and their homes, I don't see why either the builders or their insurance companies don't have to foot the bill. My house is subsiding and my insurance company is fighting over reliability for almost the last 3 years. Seven repairs are going to cost in the region of 80 grand.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Now, a little earlier here on Lunchtime Live, we were talking about this new government-approved, fully funded scheme to repair up to about 100,000 homes or apartments with building defects. We heard some personal stories from people who have been affected by this just a few minutes ago. Lara is with us on the line. Lara, why did you get in touch about this?
Hi, how are you? Good. I just wanted to talk to him just about a kind of another associated issue. So I'm in a smaller development in Dublin 8. And we're probably one of the ones with the lesser amounts of problems. But Dublin Fire Brigade closed our underground car park just before Christmas because they deemed it unsafe due to the issues that need to be repaired. So living in Dublin 8 now, there's nowhere to park for us. It's all paid parking around our area. And you can only park and pay for 3 hours before you have to move your car. And I'm someone, I need my car for work or else two buses across the city in about an hour and a half. And I've been clamped about three times in the past 6 weeks.
Right.
At 125 a clamp.
Pop, I know.
Yeah, and it's just, and you know, you could be going out going for work in the morning and you might have forgot to pay for that morning because it starts at 7. Because you have to constantly remember.
It's not feasible, Lara, having residents to move the car every 3 hours.
Yeah, and we paid. You know, when I bought my apartment, I paid $10,000 for a car parking space because I'm someone who uses my car a lot, and particularly for work. Dublin City Council won't give us parking permits for the area. They're saying they're too subscribed, as in they've handed out the sufficient number for the area. But yet it's lots of little side streets that are empty during the day. And then in the evening, we're all battling for spaces.
Fair enough if that's the justification. There are too many subscribed, but this isn't your problem.
Well, exactly, yeah. And not only that, but, you know, the campers wouldn't have been very frequently in our area. But now suddenly they're there every couple of weeks because they get 6 or 7 cars at a time. And it's us from our apartment who literally have nowhere else. You know, people have been selling their cars, you know, parking them in friends' houses and just stopping using them. Like, it so affects our lives even more than having to shell out the big amount of money that we've been having to pay out.
Are you included in this scheme, Lara? It's been announced today.
Well, I hope so. I'm an owner, and so far I've paid out $6,000, and that's just in 1 year. So I'm hoping, I'm presuming I am. I'm a little bit worried in that we're a smaller development. We are so far paying for the work to be done, even though they haven't really started. And I think the focus will be on the bigger buildings where, if there was a fire or something, it would be, you know, I mean, it's going to be disastrous if it happens in our building, but a much bigger blocks of apartments, it's going to be a much bigger deal, okay. Much more lives are at stake. And I think the focus will be on those people and getting the works done in those buildings.
Well, I would have thought it was all, but I suppose, yeah, you're waiting for clarity.
There'll be a rollout and certain people will be entitled before others. Yeah.
But I'm sure this is even aside from the, you know, the defective issue, like, you know, I'm sure like Andrew and Sam that spoke to us earlier, like you go through the whole thing of saving the deposit and first-time buyer, and you get into the place and you've personally spent money on some of this improvement work. Like, it's not like it's a new kitchen or something. I mean, this is actual fire safety
stuff.
Kind of
unseen stuff that you know. But I actually, before the pandemic, I was moving to Wicklow and selling, and I had a house bought, and I only discovered the issues when a fire cert wouldn't be released to the buyer because the issues had started to be discovered and Dublin Fire Brigade had been in. So, you know, I was wanting to move on with my life 3 years ago and move out of Dublin.
With this.
And I can't, And I'm one of the lucky ones. I'm a single person in a one-bedroom apartment. I'm very happy where I am. And I'm just wanting to move out of Dublin. But, like, there are people with 3 year kids in two-bedroom apartments who can't go anywhere in my building. And you know, I need to move for reasons other than...
But I mean, you'd imagine that given that this decision regarding the car park was to do with the, you know, a fire safety issue, you'd imagine, or to do with the fire brigade, you'd imagine the council would be able to work out something, given that that's the rationale for it. Let me bring in Barbara as well, Lara. Barbara's on the line. Barbara's actually from the North Mayo Pyrite Group. Barbara, you've been listening to the details so far of this fully funded scheme to repair homes with building defects. Is it a bit of a blow for those impacted by pyrite and mica?
Hi, Andrea. If it is actually 100%, yes, definitely. But the government's version of 100%, they say ours is 100%, but it's not. So there are two variations, actuality of 100% and the government's view of 100%. In my view.
Well, you're 100%. Well, your situation with the mic is then, it's 90% of about 240,000, isn't it?
It works out about 80%, not 90%, really. Do you know what I mean, Andrea? So, like, anybody that is in the scheme, we know that it's not 100%. And I would like to think it was 100% because that would take the pressure off an awful lot of us.
What's your view on this announcement today?
Well, we're in support of anybody that would get 100%, but we would like 100% ourselves.
For your own scheme?
For our own scheme, which it isn't. Like, SEA, I are not accepting applications from defective block homeowners. We have to build our homes and then we can retrofit it with upgrades and everything later on. But that's doing it twice. Why? Do you know what I mean? That's crazy. Potentially, like, we're building, anybody that will be building will be building on unfit foundations, potentially unfit foundations, because we're not testing. They're not allowing us to test for foundations. So it's all still crazy. We still have no date for regulations when that is supposed to come into operations. We have no timeline for the enhanced scheme. It's been pushed back the whole time, causing more mental health problems and stress, trauma to all of us families that have been waiting for years and years and being told this is going to happen. Okay. Yes, it is. And well, then they keep pushing it back out.
I think the government, I think that announcement from, wasn't it last summer, was 100% grant subject to the overall max grant of, it was 420,000 per dwelling from, according to their website. Listen, Barbara, thank you for getting in touch with us today on the programme.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Avant Money.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.